Today on the Mud Peddlers, we are... Hold on. Okay, hold on. I'm good.
Lindsay, start here.
I'm good. Okay.
Lindsay, start right. here.
Start here.
All the other conversation.
Do you wanna sing Unholy Agony?
What?
Step ladder. Bless. All right, good. I feel cleansed. Mm-hmm.
This is The Mud Peddlers, a podcast where two nerdy ceramic artists share the behind the scenes of their worlds of clay. We are your hosts, Lindsay M. Dillon.
And I am Dante of Earth Nation.
This week on The Mud Peddlers, we are talking about paperwork, basically.
Mainly taxes, yeah?
Well, paperwork, taxes as part of paperwork. I feel like we should have a separate episode where we, like, deep dive taxes, but the reason that I wanted to talk about umbrella term it to paperwork is because of a question that somebody actually asked me hella days ago. A very long time ago, listener Akon said...
Akon?
A-C-O-N, yes,
oh,
Akon.
Oh, my bad. Yeah. I thought, okay.
Not like Akon.
Not the rapper. Got it.
If the rapper Akon texted us, I would be, you know what, I probably wouldn't know who they were, to be honest. I don't know what he looks like.
I know, exactly. He looks like Cisco, but like the Temu version of Cisco.
That means nothing to me.
Temu is the new version of Wish.
Okay. Like the...
You're not a sumer. You're not a consumer on the level that... Yeah, no.
Wait, Wish. Wish is like the app where you get things for like 50 cents and they're made by slave labor?
Yes.
Okay.
Essentially. But Temu is a higher quality version of it.
Oh!
There you go. There you go.
Okay, all right.
Think of Home Depot's little brother who doesn't know what he wants to sell.
Aww.
Everything's an orange label.
Aww.
It's low quality stuff, usually made in China by third... Right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, this non-rapper, Akon, sent us a message... And can tell you how long ago this was because they mention our episode about pricing. By the way, Akon, thank you so much for sending this message. I'm sorry it took so long for us to kind of talk about it.
Thanks, dog.
But they said, I have an episode suggestion, and forgive me if you've already covered it. The business setup of it all. LLC, sole proprietorship, business license, reseller permit, etc. And, like, in what order did you set it up? All of that is so daunting, and I'd love to hear how you handle it.
Oh, man, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Because I thought we were just talking about taxes.
Nah. It's kind of like...
Me and Uncle Sam ain't friends, to be honest with you.
No, I am pro taxes, definitely, because, like, I like roads. I like being able to have public education. Point being, like, I wanted to kind of do, like, an overarching kind of, not necessarily this is your 100% guide to setting up a business, but more of, like, these are just some of the things that we've dealt with over the years and kind of how we've approached it and set it up. And taxes is included in that. I figure we can talk about, like, how we got our sales tax permit, things like that. You know, again, like Akon was saying, the sole proprietorship versus LLC, which is, what, limited liability corporation. So, I also have this book. It's called Getting Your Shit Together, The Ultimate Business Manual for Every Practicing Artist. It's by Karen Atkinson and GYST Inc. I'm gonna be real. I have not read this entire thing. I have read parts of it, and it's the thing that sits on my shelf, guilt-tripping me into becoming a proper artist. But I wanted to, like, bring out a couple... I wanted to bring this book with me, because I feel like I remember there being sections talking about, like, LLC and just... Anyway, if nothing else, when this episode proves to be insufficient for what you're looking for, you will go look up this book, and there will also be a more deep dives on these topics in general, but I wanted to do a more, like, broad overview of how we've approached setting up our business.
This isn't as deep as we could go, but I could definitely share my experiences and here's what's going to happen to you as an artist who wants to sell your work sooner or later.
How about you talk about what you've done? Because you don't know what these people are going to do.
No, I'm just going to tell you, this is the ordinary path.
Okay, right?
Often happens is that you get into art, you catch the clay bug, because most of us are clay artists. Mm-hmm. Art in general, really, right? And then sooner or later, you have too much stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to sell the stuff. And then you think about avenues in which you ought to be going over to sell your stuff. And sometimes that ends up on online sales, or sometimes that ends up in in-person sales. Mm-hmm. And if you're doing in-person sales, usually whoever's running the show will ask you, okay, so what's, like, your seller's license number, right? And your seller's license number usually attaches to your taxes so that you can be taxed at the end of the year, right? The problem with that is when you first get into it, you're like, I just know I needed a seller's permit. in order to, so like our, my first con at least was at Fanime.
Right.
And Fanime was in San Jose. And there's two things I learned this day. Number one, I need a seller's permit.
Yeah.
And that's attached.
And again, well, this is, okay, well, first of all, we are not lawyers. This should be, this should be clear by now. we're not lawyers, so do not consider anything we say here to be legal advice. We're just sharing our experiences.
Right.
And hoping that it'll help you all. But we are also both based in California. So one of the things that makes all this tricky is that literally every state has a different tax law.
City as well.
City as well. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, so just keep that in mind as we are talking about our experiences.
Yes. So if I needed a seller's permit to go to San Jose, which is where Fanime was, which is not Sacramento, right? San Jose, right?
Yeah. Fanime is in San Jose.
Right. And so I got my seller's permit and then I got there and they were like, this is the wrong seller's permit. Because I got the Sacramentian one.
Oh.
Right. So I have a seller's permit, but they were like, you need a seller's permit specifically
for this event.
For this city in which the event's held.
Yes.
That's something that was a big step for me that I didn't know.
Yes. I remember running into that too because I also thought that you needed like a whole new permit for every single event.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah, but it's more like you get your seller's permit and you have it like associated with your home address.
Right.
But then if you sell in another city, then you essentially get a sub seller's permit for that specific location.
Exactly. And I didn't have the sub seller's permit.
Right.
Right. And that sub seller's permit has taxes that correlate or has the tax amount that correlates to your sales that correlate to the city. Instead of Sacramento. So if I sold in Sacramento, they're like, we're taking, these are made up numbers, 6.6, 0.6, whatever.
Right.
Per dollar, right? But in San Jose, they're taking 0.8 or 0.8 or whatever it is per dollar. And I needed to prove how much I sold so that they can tax me at that rate, at that event. And then later on, they ask you, like, how much did you make?
Yeah.
And then you're just honest with them about that. And then that's that. That was a big one for me.
Can I actually detail a little bit of that? Sorry, I know I'm kind of interrupting a little bit.
You're fine.
So part of the reason I want to detail the process for dealing with a seller's permit is because I did not know when I first started. I'm like, okay, wait, but like, how do I pay the taxes for these things? And so basically what you do, if you're in California, and again, there may be something similar in your state, but essentially what you do in California is you go to the California Department of Tax and Fee Administration, or the CDTFA. You create an account, you get your seller's permit, they'll ask you a bunch of questions, and then after, like, so we'll take your event at Fanime. So you would get the seller's permit associated with your home address, then you would make a sub permit for the location, for if you're selling at a different city.
So it's usually just for that event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then basically what you do is you sell at that event, you keep track of how much you made, and then you go back to the CDTFA website, you go to that seller's permit, and then they did it a little differently during the quarantine because it was only like you only had to do the taxes for every year, but now it's back to every quarter. So every quarter you go in and you report how much you made. And the thing that's important to keep in mind about that is, warning, I'm going to be getting into a little bit of math, but it's important. So if you integrate like the taxes into the price of the pieces you're selling, like for instance, I like having even numbers, you know, so let's say I make $100 and let's say there's an 8% sales tax. So essentially, instead of putting my income as 100, because technically that 100 includes the sales tax that I have collected from the audience.
Because you included the sales tax in the price.
In the price of the item. Yeah.
Some
right.
people don't do that, but in this scenario, we are.
Yes. Yeah. So 8% of 100 is 8. So when I put my income for that, it's not 100, it's actually 92.
Yes.
Because of that sales tax. And the reason that you want to remember to do that is because that if you put 100 as your actual income, then
they tax you.
You're essentially paying the taxes twice.
Yes.
So just keep that in mind. So, but anyway, but that's how you actually go back to pay the taxes is you go to the CDTFA website or whatever the equivalent is in your state and input how much money you made in there. And then it will also say, based on the location where your sales tax
How much tax you're paying.
Yeah, how much tax you're paying. Like, because there's usually a state tax, then there's often a city tax and a municipal tax.
Yes.
And all of that, you don't have to know that. It will actually, like, the system will put that in for you, at least in California.
I will also say that most of us, I think you included, right? You don't put the taxes in your pieces. I don't know if you do or not.
I do. I include the taxes in my...
Oh, I do not. I just upsell the pot, like, an extra dollar per piece. Or 50 cents per piece. And I'm like, that takes care of the taxes.
Yeah. No. I mean, that's what I do, too.
Yeah.
When I say, like, so...
I don't do the math, is what I'm saying.
No.
I just go, an extra dollar is fine.
Yeah, no. I do that same thing. It's more so when I say that I include the tax in the price of the item, I do that just so that on the user end of things, when someone sees the price tag at an in-person event, they know it's going to be that price.
Yeah, because it's kind of off-putting to, it's not totally off-putting, but it's a bit off-putting to see that this is $61.80. And you're like, why?
Yeah.
Why is this $61.81?
Or see a price tag for $60, and then when you actually go to ring it up, it's $61.82 or whatever.
Oh, that's so off-putting.
You know, yeah. So it's
I hate that.
Yeah, I like knowing exactly how much I'm going to be paying up front. Yeah. And we'll also So there's a point about this that has to do with selling online, but I'll get to that a little bit later because it's selling in person versus selling online. Different websites handle how they collect taxes differently, but we'll get to that a little bit later.
Yeah.
So anyway, so you were saying about
no, go off. I'm good.
So you were talking about the process in which people begin selling their work. So they've sold at an event, they have their sales tax, and technically, you don't need a business license to do that.
Technically not. And I will say, as Lindsay reminds me many times, that this is just kind of just like a generalization, a blanket statement of how most people come up to me and say, like, I kind of have too much stuff. What do I do now? Am I good enough to sell my work? And then I'm like, yeah, just try it out. You know, and worst comes to worst, you can kind of lowball your stuff. My first table, all my stuff was like $10 or $15.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then I was like, oh, I should raise the price. And I just kind of kept rolling from there.
Mm-hmm.
But that came with the taxes conversation we just had at the seller's permit. I would say after that, what happened is that I had to start thinking about selling on, I wouldn't say that, but sooner or later I had to start selling online, which means I had to find a website in which I want to sell online through. So whether it was like a marketplace, like a Etsy marketplace, or if I wanted to have my own website, or if I wanted to sell through like Shopify or Greenly, or there's a bunch of them out there, but each and every one of those has a price they take from you, and each and every one of them does it in a different way. Like mine is per year. So every year it charges me like 100 and something bucks or 200 something bucks. And my brain goes, okay, I gotta sell like 3 mugs to make that a year.
Right.
It's not that much to
keep. And of course it also charges like every transaction. Like that, like that's just the, I'm assuming that's just the fee
just
for like having the website up.
Yes, that's just one facet. The cool thing about where I go to Squarespace, is that I'm basically paying for the website and the domain name.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of going to Etsy and then Etsy's like, no, Etsy's the domain, you just have a sub shop underneath our name. So if you sold on eBay, you're selling on eBay, you just have your own quote-unquote storefront in the marketplace of eBay. And same for, I keep mentioning it, Etsy.
Etsy.
Mine is Squarespace, but you don't go to squarespace.com. For my website. You go to earthnationceramics.com for my website, right? And so I get to lock in that domain name. The thing that took me quite some time to figure out is that I cannot, and I fought with people about this, not fight as in like argumentative, but I just didn't understand why. You have to go through a third party transaction in order to put the money in your account. So I have earthnationceramics.com. You, Lindsay, want to buy a mug from me. You cannot give me the money directly. And then I give you the pot directly. What you are doing is you're technically giving me the money and the transaction goes through a third party. Mine is called like Linked or something like that. And they charge a service fee and they usually also charge the taxes as well. So technically speaking, but you need to look into it before you sign up with a website because they charge like every transaction technically takes like an extra dollar or something for me. It's a percentage, right? And even like PayPal does that.
Yeah.
Right. And then they often also give me a paper at the end. It depends on how much money I make, really. But saying like, hey, you made this much money. Here's your, it's like $10.99 or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
W. And that's how they kind of handle my taxes.
That's actually a good point, too. So the 1099 form is, for the most part, if you're just starting out, that's actually just kind of a nice, like, generalized statement, is that if you're just starting out, for the most part, you don't really have to worry too much about, like, the taxes and everything, because realistically...
You don't make that much.
You don't... if you're not making a lot, like, again, and every state's different, but you usually have to meet a certain threshold of income to need...
Like 20K here.
To begin filling out... To begin paying taxes and to have to, you know, fill out information like the 1099. Yeah. So keep in mind, because I'll say in general, like, again, when I first started, I was really worried that, like, I was going to mess something up. And then years down the line, the IRS was going to come after me for all of these things. And I would say, like, yes, do your best to try and...
Be as honest as you can.
Yeah, be as honest as you can be. But also know that, like, you're... If you have made $500 the whole year on your ceramics or on your art form,
yeah, be real.
You're okay. Like you're probably don't have to worry about filling out any of the paperwork. Now, as you begin making more money and forms like the 1099 start happening, like how that goes depends on what service you're using. So for instance, when I first started selling my work online, it was through Etsy. Now, one of the really convenient things about Etsy is they automatically collect and remit sales taxes.
Yeah.
And remitting is basically them going, like, they're basically doing the paying back of the taxes. Etsy basically streamlines the sales tax aspect of it.
Another thing that I'll say is that there are certain websites that, kind of to piggyback off Lindsay's, is that they don't really send you the 1099 paperwork or the paperwork that says here it is for your taxes. Mm-hmm. Kind of like your job will often do if you have a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
Unless you meet a certain threshold.
Right.
So, for example, like, even Patreon does not send me a tax form. I called them for my taxes and I was like, I didn't get... A 1099 W or whatever it is.
I think it's a 1099 because a W-2 is what you get when you have like a standard, when you have an employer.
Right. And they were like, you don't get one. I said, why? They said, you have never met the money threshold.
Mm.
You need, and I forgot the number, but it was like 20K or 10K.
I think it's 10K because I remember on Etsy, I started, I'm pretty sure it was after I started making like 10K.
Yeah. A year.
Yeah.
And they were like, you have never met the threshold for like the 5-6 years you've been with us. And I was like, oh. So I just don't have to report you for taxes. They go, well, it's not that you don't have to report it. It's that it won't matter on your taxes. You can tell your tax handler. You can put it into your taxes if you want. And they'll tax you a very minute amount. But as far as the legality of us sending you paperwork for your taxes, mm-hmm. we don't have to do that. And you technically don't have to report it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking one of the 5 things I have to report.
Yeah, off of your worry list.
Because even YouTube is like, we're going to send you a... We have to. I don't make anywhere near the amount that I make on YouTube as I do Patreon. And YouTube is still like, we have to give you one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for YouTube, it's not really a threshold issue. It's more of a making sure that advertisers issue. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
It's more that. It's more complicated than I can explain from the advertiser point of view. But like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And another way that you might end up getting one of these forms is if you complete a commission as essentially an independent contractor. So, for instance, when you and I did Ceramicon for Elizabeth Young last year.
Mm. Sorry. She was essentially our employer.
Yes.
To a degree. So she had to give us a 1099 or a W, whatever. She had to give us tax forms. So Elizabeth Young did send us paperwork saying, hey, here's how much you made. This needs to be reported to your taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are technically employees of her for that one job, that one commission.
Yeah, yeah. And thank you.
I got you.
Brain not working.
It's okay.
But keep in mind as well that you don't... Like, I have completed commissions and not filled out paperwork.
Yeah, it's like, not a do or die thing. It's not, you know, somebody's like, do me a $50 mug. You don't have to tell Uncle Sam you did a $50 mug. But the, what was it called? Ceramicon?
Yeah.
Ceramicon was large enough to where Elizabeth Young had to do one.
Yeah.
So, and we were part of that, so we had to turn that in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? But if, you know.
Yeah, if it's, I honestly don't know what the threshold is for, again, like when you need to have a contract in terms of an independent, when you're completing a job as an independent contractor, like for instance, when I made the cafe serveware, I did not fill out, I did not end up filling out any of that information. And realistically, I should have had a contract for that. Like generally speaking, even if you're not sure, and this is kind of more to do with another side of paperwork, but if you're completing a commission for someone, I highly recommend signing a contract. Even if it's not enough that you have to worry about paying taxes, it can really alleviate any potential issues that could come up around, like, for instance, if they don't pay you on time, or if, like, the client doesn't, the client needs to understand that, again, if you're in ceramics, sometimes acts of God happen, you know, in terms of the power could go out, your kiln could break, there could be things that delay the process of you providing the items for whatever the commission is. And there are, you know, again, lots of resources online. We can do a deep dive into that later if y'all are interested in that, but it can save you a lot of trouble to have a written out contract. And even if it's not enough, that you would need to report it.
Yeah, I have a, for companies that decide to contact me and say, like, hey, do you want to do this, and me? Mm-hmm. I have, like, a media kit, and my media kit is essentially just, like, a very light contract. No one has to sign anything, realistically. But I basically tell them, here's what I expect from the company if I make this much content for you, this, and this. Here's what I will supply to you as advertisements for your product. And that's essentially my quote-unquote media kit for selling online and dealing with businesses. Now, if they want me to do a bigger job, I will probably get someone or myself draw up a contract. And it's not like a super legal one. It's just like, I write something up, please agree to these terms, we sign it, it's a done deal.
And on that note too, there are also templates online that you can find for these kind of things.
Yes. But
if you're not sure what to write.
Yes. And I will say Lindsay's right in that a contract is essentially, I'm going to dauntify it. I will essentially say a contract is kind of like a paper condom for both parties, right? It's protection. We agreed to these things. These things will or will not happen. And if they do or do not happen, you are held to a point of liability, right? Where it's like, hey, you said you were going to do a thing on this piece of paper that we both agreed to. There's proof of it here and you didn't do it. So your repercussion is probably small business claims if it's a small job, depending on how big it is. But like, you can get taken to court off. And usually it doesn't go this far.
Yeah.
Usually it doesn't go this far. But like, in the case in which a tea shop or a mug shop asks you to do 10K worth of stuff, and you say, I will give you this much of this, and this. I expect to be paid at this time. This is the time in which your product will be given to you. And they do not pay you on time, and they just go, we just don't feel like paying you anymore. We don't really like the color that you did anymore. And so they only paid you half. If you don't have a contract, you can't prove anything to anyone.
Yeah.
You can't, your word is just hearsay at that point. So you kind of, if you're doing larger jobs and you're not willing to take the hit and it's detrimental to your monetary situation, I would 100% at least have some kind of media kit or piece of paper and be like, you agree to this, right? It's like when you have an argument, not your significant other, but you have an argument with someone. They're like, I never said that. I just found, this is a bit of a rant. I just found out that if you don't mute your PlayStation controller, it just records everything in the room.
What?
So, your PlayStation 5 controller. I have a PS5.
Okay, yeah.
And it has a voice thing, and it also has a record back thing, and mine goes back like 10 minutes. So, me and Abe will be playing a game, and this has happened like three times. This has happened like three times already, and I love it, because I'm the kind of person who's like, I can't prove that, so I'm just gonna drop it. But I can prove it now.
Oh my god.
So this is our little contract, right? What happens is, she goes, well, you didn't put like inspiration online. Right? And I'm like, yeah, I did. She's like, no, you didn't. And I was like, I did. I just did it so fast that you didn't see it, because you were looking at your phone or something. And she's like, I swear to god you didn't. And I go, what do I get if I did? What are you going to give me if I did? And if I prove that I did, what do I get? She goes, you get, and you were right, and I'm sorry, kiss. And I go, damn right I do. And I push PlayStation record, and I go back 3 minutes, and then it's on screen and audio that I did. This has happened like three times.
Oh my god.
This happened like three times. And then she's like, I'm sorry. And I'm like, yeah. It's like you need something to verify that something either will or did happen with the agreed upon situation that you're about to go into. Otherwise, it's all hearsay. Like, without that proof, it's just one person said this, another person said that, and your words are both relatively equal unless you have some kind of sway.
Yeah. You
know? Like, in the court of social opinion, it's a little bit different, but legally, you need something to say, like, this will happen and did not happen, what's the punishment?
Yeah. If it's a small mug for your friend and they're paying you for it, maybe don't worry about it. But also maybe do. You know, it's just...
Yeah, it depends.
Yeah, it depends. Really but yeah, largely speaking, yeah, it's important. So, all right. So someone has sold at a convention. Someone has completed a commission. Now this, I admit, this is something that I have not figured out how to do, and I'm really curious if you have, because it's one of those things that I really should do because it would save me a lot of money. So let's say this person needs to then go to the ceramic supply store and buy some clay.
Yeah.
Technically, if you are a business, you can essentially buy that clay or whatever materials you're using, glazes, tools, to make your work. You don't have to pay the sales tax on that because you are, it's essentially like a wholesale type of situation. And if you have a reseller's permit, then you essentially don't have to pay the sales because the taxes will be paid when you sell the mug that you create having bought that clay.
Yeah, it's a bit cleaner than that, but essentially like after this, I'm going to go to the IMCO.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And they're going to go, hey, Dante, we know you have a seller's permit. You know, and I go, yes, I'm buying this clay for not only my YouTube channel, my small business, but also my class. Mm-hmm. So they give me, like, the teacher discount, the seller permit discount, and all that.
See, how do you get the seller's permit discount? Because the thing...
Just have a seller's permit.
And I have a seller's permit.
Tell the seller, I have a seller's permit discount.
I've tried.
And they give you the discount.
No, 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 it doesn't work that way for me. I have to fill out this thing out on Alpha.
You try flexing at them?
Isn't the...
That works for me all the time.
No! Oh, my God.
Nerd!
No, it's a... Okay, so... A seller's permit, though, is different from a reseller's permit.
Absolutely.
So how do you get a reseller's license?
A reseller's permit and a reseller's license assumes that you are selling the exact product as you bought it back to someone else at a higher price to make profit for yourself. You're essentially reselling something that they sold you. A seller's permit gives you the right to get, not the right, but you get taxed with a number based on what you sell, based on what you create.
Right. No, no, no. I mean, I get that part. I get that the seller's permit has to do with what you sell. But when I have tried to fill out for Alpha Fired Arts, when I go onto their website to fill out their reseller's permit, I don't know where to get that number.
You wouldn't.
Because it's not a sales permit.
You don't. You and I don't have reseller's permits because we don't resell anything. We sell stuff.
No, I think I'm on Alpha Fired Arts. Mm-hmm. Web store, and there's this account information thing where if you're trying to set up a wholesale account, at the bottom it says business license information. You have to have a resale number.
We don't have that.
Or a business license.
I have a business license, yeah, but that's because I'm registered as a business as an LLC. That
you're registered as an LLC.
I'm registered as an LLC.
Really?
Yeah, because I don't have sole proprietorship. And I registered myself. Most people do. I'm registered.
Yeah, I'm a sole proprietor. Why are you an LLC?
Because if I get sued, you don't sue me. You sell the company.
Oh, but don't you have to pay more for that, right?
I mean, yeah, but the company's dead once it gets sued. You ever see a company that gets sued and then the company's dead? They have to rebrand themselves.
Right, right, right.
Okay, that's.
Oh yeah, actually, that's a good part that we should be distinguishing here: LLC versus sole proprietorship.
LLC just means legal liability company. I think. I'm pretty sure. But sole proprietorship is like this one bro owns it.
Yeah, so
and
for instance...
And it's him who does everything, and everything's his fault if something goes bad.
Yeah, an example would be like if, like let's say I hosted a workshop and the chair that I had provided broke and someone had to get leg surgery because they broke their leg. Essentially, all of my assets would be available to be sued for.
Yes.
Like all of my savings, all of my everything. But for you...
An LLC is just anything that's underneath the company.
Yes.
So like you could take my wheel and my kiln, I guess, but even that's not registered.
But it's not like they could take your house.
Yeah, limited liability company. I'm sorry.
Limited liability company. Limited liability. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Not legal liability. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's essentially why. And when they ask you if you want to register yourself as a business, they ask you which one you want to do. And I don't really know the qualifications, but they gave me a free reign choice.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason I had to get an LLC, I know we're getting to the weeds, is because I had to do my trademark. And I bought my trademark for my symbol.
Oh, yeah.
Because someone tried to replicate my work on YouTube. You remember that, right?
Oh.
Somebody, like, opened an application of, like, here's how you learn pottery and just stole my videos.
Oh, yeah, that's right, that's right.
And then I shut him down and he was like, well, it's not registered. And, like, 3 hours later, I was like, here's the registration number. I am registered. I will sue you if you continue this. I now have legal reform to fight against you. And he was like, fuck, fine.
Oh, man.
Which is crazy. So, like, I also have trademark. I think I have to pay it every year. I'm pretty sure, but...
Okay. Okay, so that's... Okay, so we're... Okay. So I'm curious.
They connect.
So what was the process for you? How did you apply for your business license?
Oh, man, I'm not gonna lie to you. I just Googled it, and then I bought a business license. And they were like, cool, you can now be taxed based on what you make in your business.
Not gonna lie. I never did that.
Hey, Uncle like, Sam, don't ask, Danye, don't tell.
No, no, no. I have my seller's permit. Like, I pay all the taxes that I need to be paying. Like, I hired a tax guy to, because that's, okay, that's a low-key another thing. Is that...
I have a tax guy, but asked me, how much did you make for your business last year? And I go, this much. And he goes, okay. Right? Isn't that what you do?
I mean, kind of. I do more than that. I provide a lot of paperwork. Okay, so I want to try and keep some of these things straight because...
Yeah, go for it.
So...
I'll be over here.
All right. So selling... For your business license, you essentially applied through the city of Sacramento? Like, do you remember what website you went to?
It was a government website, and I don't remember the website I went to, but I did basically, I paid like $100 or something like that to get, and then I'm registered as a business. I even get business taxes every year, but they're not large because I don't sell that much on my web. Like, I make more money through Patreon and YouTube and my pottery job now than I would ever make through selling my work. Because once you have like three of my mugs, you're kind of done, right? You're like, unless you're a serious art collector and then you're buying like my high-end stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But even that's not widely available on my website. Most people are buying mugs and bowls. So I don't sell enough to take a large hit from, you know, I'm not like drop shipping.
So the business license is essentially, okay, so.
It's just for my name, really. It's just to say I'm technically a small business. That's all it is.
Huh. That's interesting. So, okay, so...
It's protection legally again.
I'm gonna say something that is kind of embarrassing. But again, like I said, I have not actually filled out paperwork to officially, like, have a business license.
Yeah.
Because I don't have an on-site location. Mm-hmm. I sell at various events. And I've been doing this professionally since, like, 2014.
It's whatever.
Whole time since 2020. So part of the thing that I'm part of the reason I want to say this and part of the reason why I am very uncomfortably bearing my ineptitude is because I want to show you, dear listener, that you can be fairly far along in things and still be figuring things out.
Always a student, honestly.
Yeah.
Always a student. Never a master, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I wish I could be a master in all the business things, but I have looked into it before, and there was a reason why I didn't apply for a business license, but now I can't remember what it was. But I mean, I pay my taxes. I do the things I'm supposed to do in that sense. And, you know, so I don't know. It's
I mean, it's fine. Everyone learns at their own pace. It's the only reason I got a lot of these things that are seen as, especially by social media, unnecessary at this point. Because, like, I don't really need all these to operate. I just have them. It's because I have legal protections.
Mm-hmm.
And these legal protections are usually against... That's why most businesses have contracts, to be honest with you. If we could operate honestly and earnestly and, like, have verbal contracts and everybody followed the rules, we'd, like, a lot less of these would be okay. But every time someone's like, oh, they put it in the contract, those assholes, they just want to get over on the little guy. A lot of them do, to be honest, but... The way this kind of started was majoritively contracts are for protection for businesses, to be really honest with you. And so every time I draw up a contract, it makes it look skeevy, but like I have to protect myself. Otherwise, I end up losing money for the amount of effort I put in.
Yeah.
And money is time, and time is valuable.
And it protects your client too, because like if, for instance, you know, you were not the person you are and you were an asshole, if they paid you, half up front and then you never finish the project, the contract also helps show, you know, any potential, you know, lawyer or whatever that like, hey, this Dante guy said he was going to make all these cups for me.
Yeah.
I paid him half the amount and then he never made it all.
And then he darted.
So the contract really does help both sides.
Yep.
Okay. So there was another thing that I was going to ask about. So paperwork.
Uncle Sam taking grams out the bag, and he's not even sniffing them right. I don't like that shit.
Oh, man.
I'm just saying.
I am disturbed by your anti-tax attitude.
I'm not really anti-tax, but I'm full-blown. I think most people would agree on this, is that we pay taxes, and the taxes do not go to the majority of everything I want them to go to.
Yeah, no, that's
fair. I will say that. I will say that.
I also wish that... okay, so this is tiny, tiny little side thing.
Yeah, you're good.
And then we'll get back to, you know, mostly talking about the paperwork and such. But,
yeah.
I mean, again, I'll pay my taxes. I do the things because I
Hundo P.
I believe in the importance of taxes.
I'm relatively pro taxes.
Yeah. What I am frustrated about is when it feels like, you know, you hear about people like Donald Trump not paying anything in taxes, or you hear about like large corporations not paying anything in taxes because of these loopholes they're able to find. And meanwhile, I'm like paying like the $1,000 that goes into like that I pay in sales tax makes a much bigger difference on the quality of my life than it does on like a multi-million dollar corporation that doesn't pay shit. And it's really annoying.
For me, it's like whenever I see statistics on taxes and I see like, oh yeah, we took 0.1% of all the taxes away from the Art Foundation. I'm like, why? It was already underfunded.
Yeah.
I don't understand why you did that. I'm like, well, the military needs new guns. I'm like, do they? And then I see a report online from Fox News who's like, the military actually is selling their tanks because they have too many tanks. Mm. And we need to pay money back to China. And I'm like, you could have just let me keep my I'm so angry.
I know.
That I give you so much money and you don't be using it. It's kind of like if you let like your friend borrow money for like groceries and then you find out they used like half of it to buy new rims. You're like, that's not what I gave you that for.
Yeah.
And you know it. And then, but every year they're like, well, if you don't give me the money for groceries, then I guess I'll starve. And you're like, bro, you can't keep doing this to me. That's not what I gave you the money for.
This is why we vote, guys. Speaking of which, I hope all of you voted in the California primaries or Super Tuesday. You know, by the time this episode comes out, I hope y'all voted.
I voted, but I'm getting tired. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm getting tired. I'm getting conspiracy theory tired.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that on the Night Peddlers. Right. Yeah. All right. So, what are some of the areas, I'm speaking this aloud also to myself, what are some of the areas that we deal with paperwork in our business? We've talked about a little bit about the seller's permit. Oh, filling out taxes. Maybe we should talk a little bit more about that. Like how, like if someone is beginning to, or if someone is beginning to, is making enough money where they need to start keeping track of their business expenses.
Yeah.
I have a list of some of the things that the categories that I keep track of.
I have a methodology. You want to go over your list?
Yeah. I'll go over my list. Okay. So I have with me a...
I have no list though.
That's okay.
I just have like, I know this will show up when it's tax time. So I'm going to do this now. I have future Dante will know what to do with this. Methodologies.
Okay. This is good. This is good. All right. So I'm going to just read off some of the stuff that is on my business expenses Excel sheet that I send to my tax guy.
Okay, don't read it out too, because it's going to be like clay, glaze, minerals, dragon dildo.
No. Oh, I mean, okay, the dragon dildo doesn't count as...
I need
as
it for a slipcast form.
Oh my god. No, that's illegal. Because that's not... Okay, maybe not illegal, but I would have to change the form to make it... Anyway, point being, I don't have any...
I saw the light in your eyes glow. Oh, my God. Oh, that's a good idea! And then you're like, hold on, that's illegal.
This is like, wait. Yeah. Because I'd have to, like, tweak it enough. Because then you're just stealing somebody else's design, and that's, you know, that's no good.
I mean...
So, I've got, I'm going to list off some of the different categories and then get specific with some of them. So, I have four different categories. And by the way, all this information you can also find online. This is just what I have done.
Yeah.
So, I have the categories of conventions or events, marketing, materials, miscellaneous expenses, overhead, podcasting, professional development, selling and shipping fees, supplies, and donations. So for convention or events, I have food and lift expenses at Inseca. I have our business lunches listed. And then the table fee for Sac Anime.
Yes. If you're paying table fees, you should put it into your expenses. Because even though you're technically selling, like I always list my table fees and I don't do our lunches. I think I have a moral thing about that, but I don't know if it, I don't know.
No, that's that's literally like, those are the kind of things, like, because when we get together and have our lunches, it's like, it is.
It's a business expense.
It's a business expense.
Technically.
So, also, so it's like, so let's say, for instance, I actually forgot to do this for my business expenses last year, but like for Sac Anime, for instance, or like, let's say you're selling at a farmer's market and you buy lunch that day. That lunch can go into business expenses because it is food that you bought for that or at that event or for that event.
I will say you ought to be registered or at least be paying taxes on that thing you're doing that day. Like when I go to Sac Anime and I pay for a table and Lindsay and I go off and have lunch, it's a business expense for SAC Anime The Table for my business that I've registered, right? For Earth Nation Ceramics or that instance that I'm doing, right?
And
but I can't just be out and about and be like, it's business right now, huh? And I'm just hungry, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be associated with your business.
These shoes I just bought are for business.
Well, I mean,
if it's
for ergonomics, I mean, like, because that's the thing. Like, I know that there can sometimes be a frustration with, like, oh, I shouldn't list this as a business expense. It's me taking advantage of it. It's like, no, dude, like, just, I know you and I have a little bit of a different opinion on that.
I just don't want, it's a slippery slope fallacy is what it is with me.
Yeah.
Where it's like, business owners buying Ferraris claiming it's to drive them to their job.
Right. And it's like that. Unless you are that, if you're that rich, you're probably not listening to this podcast.
That, I just don't, you know what I mean? I don't know.
I hear what you're saying.
I feel uncomfortable with it more than I have a reason. It's like the Mud Peddlers don't really, we're not a business. We don't have a Mud Peddler business. So whenever we go out to lunch, how are we doing taxes on?
Because you and I are both business owners and
every meal that I eat now?
If it's associated with like a business thing, it wouldn't necessarily be, oh, I am a business person, therefore every meal is a thing.
Yeah, that's kind of how it sounds to me.
No. Because in my sense, when we get to, like, if we're 100% just getting together to shoot the shit,
yes.
I won't keep those receipts.
Right.
But if we're getting together to, like, plan something, or yes. if part of what we talk about is to be like, okay, what are we going to talk about today, yes. then I will do that.
Right.
If it's just, like, us... But I mean, chilling. honestly, most of the time when we talk, we end up talking about business stuff. We end up, like, it's a lot...
I just want to draw a line there.
Yes.
Because you clearly have a line that you draw.
Yes.
Where you're like, well, it has to relatively be for business.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just saying that I don't, for my listener at least, I don't want you to think that you can abuse the system in such a way. Because the abuse of the system at the high tiers are at its worst, but... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're little guys, but at the same time, I still want to draw a moral line.
Yes. That's fair.
Of like, the abuse of the system is how we've kind of gotten, is part of the reason we've gotten into the predicament we're in with the tax system in the first place.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. So some of the other categories, so we've got, for marketing, I put my website and domain fees.
Yeah.
And also the upgraded commerce fee that I paid when I switched from Etsy to Squarespace.
Oh, you switched? Oh, you have both.
Oh,
now.
Yeah. No. I just have Squarespace.
Yeah, Etsy, dog.
Go back and listen to our episode of Etsy versus Squarespace.
3 years ago, I was like, fuck Etsy. And everyone was like, you're so mean. And now it's Etsy time.
Nah, I mean, honestly, sometimes I still think about going back to Etsy.
They're trying really hard to be more homemade. I read an article recently. They were like, yeah, we realize most of our stuff's drop shipping. Like, we're trying to get back to the handcrafted.
It's almost as though if they had stuck the... Anyway, point being.
Yeah, church.
Point being. All right, so materials, I have clay and glaze supplies, ceramics, jewelry supplies, because that's when I started making necklaces, and then my booth display materials. So I built my own display, and all of those fees are associated with that.
Yeah.
Under miscellaneous expenses, I have my Photoshop Express subscription, because that's how I edit my photos for my website and for social media and such.
You edit your photos?
I edit my photos, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. My iPhone case and iPhone screen protector, also under miscellaneous expenses, because if you've ever dropped your phone into clay, you know that it's important to protect that stuff. And also, again, like, my phone also counts as part of my...
No, that makes sense.
So
I use my phone specifically for business and communication.
Mm-hmm. Which is why phone is also a part of my overhead expenses list. So I've got my kiln firings. And how I basically do that is I did like an estimated cost per firing based on what the electricity bill was in a certain month. And just estimated how many firings I do per year, basically. So I've got the kiln firings. I also include a monthly studio fee. Now, even though I don't pay that monthly studio fee, it's essentially like what I would be paying if I was paying rent on this space. And honestly, it's still much cheaper than what the rate would be normally. But I set aside...
That's what my tax guy does.
Yeah.
I don't like it, but he's like, we have to.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's honestly part of the thing. And then also a cell phone fee. Podcasting fees. I have the podcast hosting, which is $20 a month. And then I pay for the video editing program. Professional development. This one can also be kind of tricky, but my friend Melmel, who works as a independent contractor in the film industry, they were talking about like, if you go to a ceramics display in a museum, like, that museum fee counts as professional development.
That's crazy.
So I paid for an art business coach last year. I got a book on architecture for doing, like, research on architectural pieces, and visits to the Crocker Art Museum. All three of those count as professional development.
Yeah, that technically counts, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Same thing with, like, you going to ClayCon West, all of those fees can go under professional development.
Yeah, that definitely can. I'm not going to lie to you. You itemize a lot more than me, but, like, I just have a card that I put, anytime I'm doing anything business sense-wise, I put it on that card. So instead of writing down somewhere, like, oh, I went to the museum, therefore it's X amount of dollars, at the end of the year, I look at my account and I go, that's how much I spent on that card. There you go.
Oh, there you go.
Like, that's what it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then sometimes he'll ask me, like, well, how much did you spend on clay? And I'm like, well, let me just control find the word clay, and I add it all up. And I'm like, there you go. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of how I do my stuff.
That's fair.
You itemize more than I do.
Yeah. Can
like,
I?
I don't save receipts and whatnot like you do.
Can I go through the last few things?
You have more?
I have more. Okay. So I also have selling and shipping fees. So that is Etsy, PayPal, Squarespace, Patreon, and USPS. So that's essentially shipping, any of the Patreon fees, the currency processing fees, transaction fees, shipping label fees. Basically all that stuff is selling and shipping fees. And then for supplies, I also have like Patreon stickers, the rubber stamps that I use to make sprig molds out of, other office supplies, silk screen, and then miscellaneous things. And then technically, because this isn't necessarily a business expense, but it is like if you donate to a nonprofit. So I donate to a number of organizations now, but only a couple of them are nonprofits. So like Planned Parenthood, I include that in my donations list. But yeah, my methodology for taxes stuff is I do a couple different things. I have my credit card, which sometimes I'm good about only putting business expense stuff on there, but honestly not as good as I should be.
I've got a gas card and that's it.
Okay.
It's only a gas card is all I have.
I have the credit card, and then I also save receipts, and then I also have folders in my Gmail for business expenses and then business income.
Yeah, same. I have like starred folders that I'm like, here's for business. Or if anyone ever sends me like fan art that I use during the channel.
That's fun.
Like, I have an art channel, like an art fan art folder, essentially. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I do that as well. But you have more items than I do, for sure.
I like doing that. It's probably, honestly, more than I need to do. Like, I think I like knowing those details because I like knowing, I don't know, like, if I'm spending too much in a certain area or, you know, I don't know, like, it also like puts it all in one document.
Yes.
So that later on I don't have to control F, you know, find clay. And, you know, I can just look at these sheets.
For me it's more of a I guess it's more individual for me, or more, I don't want to say ethical and moral for me. Because like when I bought my kiln, I put that on my business expenses. Mm-hmm. When I buy clay, I put it on business expenses. But like if I'm working in the studio and I gotta take a dump, I'm not giving you the price of the toilet paper on my itemization. You know what I mean? I'm not going to be like, well, I spent this much on toilet paper, and technically, I was working that day. Like, I'm not going to go, that's far for me.
Yeah, that's far for me. To me, that would be, like, that's overhead fee. I mean, especially because there is a thing where if you, at least as far as I understand, there is a thing where if your workspace, if your office, quote unquote, is within your home, there is a thing where part of your mortgage gets taken off.
He asks me, my tax guy's like, how much do you pay for mortgage? And I tell him, and then he goes, okay, so you technically pay this much money for your office every month. And I was like, that seems disingenuous. And he's like, no, that's how much you pay. And I was like, is it a portion? He goes, nope, technically speaking, to go to the studio every month, you pay X amount of dollars. And of course, those are massively different numbers. Like, I pay over $2,000 a month in mortgage, as opposed to, like, renting out a studio is probably, like, one something a month on the cheap end.
Yeah, that'd be lucky, honestly.
Right, but he's like, no, technically, the rules of taxes. And I'm like, I feel like that's a loophole, you know what I mean? And he's like, no, it counts. And I was like, oh, all right, you're the professional. But, like, that's where I get a little bit like, is that real? I feel like this is the kind of trick that, like, someone who's rich would play to fuck over taxes. No? Am I crazy?
I don't know.
Am I too American right now, or am I anti-American right now? Am I too anti-tax, or am I trying to be like, we should be more honest on our taxes? Like, I can't figure out which one I am.
I hear what you're saying.
I'm more worried than I am on I'm not, like, die on this hill. I'm just like, I don't know if that's a hill in the first place to be on, period. I have no idea.
I am not sure. Like, I think, what I'm hearing you say is that you see the unfairness that happens in the upper tiers of income and of society, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't want to,
that trickle down to us, really. Think about it.
No, it doesn't. Well.
Yeah, like big businesses taking, like being dishonest and disingenuous with their tax breaks affects our taxes.
Yes. Sorry. So, like, that, when I hear trickles down
to us, really, if you think about it.
But in a negative way, not like, trickle down economics, because we all know
that's bullshit. Those are barely real. Barely.
Yeah. Yeah. So you essentially don't want to mirror that same immorality.
Yes.
But yeah, you know, I hear that. I think,
I'm worried.
I think you probably don't need to be as worried as you are.
Okay.
And there's also a part of me that's like, as long as you're following the law.
Is it a legal loophole or is it legal?
It's not even really like a loophole, because it's expenses. It's like, it's business expenses.
Yeah. If I had like a lawyer in front of me who was like, no, this is totally normal, don't worry about it, I'd be like, okay, I feel better about it, but it does still feel disingenuous. Now I'm worried about it and it feels, you know what I mean? Like, right now I'm worried about it and it feels disingenuous. That's why I have all these extra things that I have, like the LLC and the business and the this and this and the protections. It's because I'm like, I want to make sure that I'm doing it right.
Yes.
Because there's two things I fear, and it's God and Uncle Sam. And they are both known for destroying whole cities just because there's... just for no reason. And they are vicious.
Yeah.
And they take no shit.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure I don't get on their bad side.
Yeah. No. I hear that. And I think that's why a lot of folks, like, again, part of the reason we're doing this episode is because a lot of folks do worry about not doing something correctly and getting punished for it later.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah. Uncle Sam's like, you owe me money. And you're like, how much? He goes, guess. And you say, I don't know, $500? He goes, nope, jail. Just tell me how much I owe you.
Yeah. I've seen that meme. I love that.
It's a good meme.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The last thing I'll say is that, so again, part of the reason we're doing this whole episode is because of that anxiety that people have about not doing something correctly and being punished for it later. I hope that as we have kind of broadly touched the many different aspects of paperwork that we touch in our lives as ceramic artists and as working artists, has given you at least somewhat of a starting place of...
It was finagly for a second.
It was a bit finagly, yeah. A starting place of beginning to pay attention to your finances a little bit more in terms of what you need to be paying for. And again, it is tricky because every state law is different. The nice thing is that there are a lot of resources out there. And I will say that, like, if you guys want more detail on this, or if there's something that, because again, this is just a very broad kind of touching on each of these topics. So if there's a specific one that you want us to go into more, let us know. Because honestly, there's a lot of research that we could do on each of these to give you more specific information. But anyway, let us know what you want to hear more about, and hopefully this has been helpful for you.
I will say before we dart that if you're looking for a good place to start and you feel like this is a bit cumbersome of a topic, because you're probably thinking right now, like, oh, I gotta worry about these seven things they just talked about right now. If you're selling online, make sure that you know where you're getting your money through, because the money can't come directly to you, at least where I live, right? Stripe is what I have.
Yeah.
And it charges me like 2 to 3% per transaction, and then I have to kind of do all my taxes. I have to figure that out, right? But I would see who your money is going through as a transaction and see how much they charge as a percent for every sale. Right. Mm-hmm. If you don't know that information, you ought to know that already, especially if you're selling online. If you're selling an in-person events, you should probably make sure your seller's license is intact and see how much you get charged per whatever city or state you're in. I would say begin there, because those are your main two avenues to sell stuff. They're either in-person or they're online, and you ought to know the sales tax of at least one of them, or how much you get dinged per transaction, at least for one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I would say start there, and then you can start thinking about the LLCs and the
sole proprietorship.
Then you can start doing research on that. But start at the bottom. Start at the, like, I make stuff, I sell stuff. How much do I get charged by the government to sell stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Or how much do I get paid charged per transaction to sell stuff, either online or in person? So please start at a point. Don't let this overload you.
I would even say more simple than that is look up how much you need to be making in your state before you need to start paying taxes.
That's good, too.
Because you might find out that you don't have to worry about this stuff for another $15,000
That's protection right there. They try and tax you, and you're like, actually, you know what I mean? If you make $3 under the limit, you know, you can technically be like, no, I don't have to, based on your law that you gave out, based on the contract that you put out there.
Yeah.
You made the rules. I'm just following them, baby.
And scene.
And that's it for today. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of The Mud Peddlers. We would love to hear from you, so if you want to share your thoughts about the episodes or just see what Dante and I are working on in our studios, come say hi. You can find links to my social media at lindseymdillon.com. That's L-I-N-D-S-E-Y-M as in monster. D-I-L-L-O-N.com.
And you can visit my pottery shop or see what I'm working on at earthnationceramics.com. And you can find me all over social media at earthnationceramics. It's spelled exactly how you think it's spelled.
And if you want to support the show, hear some bonus episodes, and see some behind the scenes of my work, you can support me and the show at patreon.com/lindseymdillon. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time.